morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Football Friday to all across the Delaware Valley, live from the fabulous Tropicana Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Midday show, Jason Martinez, I'm Anthony Gargano, and we need you. We need to feel it today. This is it. The season is on the line. It all comes down to Sunday against our most hated rival. This is it. Sunday in Dallas, Jerry World, our chance. The holidays on the line, our chance to win the division. Ah, Jason, I can't wait.
It's Achilles' last stand. I love that. I love that Led Zeppelin song too.
Yes,
by the way. But yeah, it's and everything's hanging on the balance here. It's no, you can use all the superlatives, all the define this game any way you want. But you're right. It's the fact of the matter is that the game is the season. Because if you lose the game, it's okay. Let's start talking about the draft next week. Let's start talking about what the Eagles need. We got to talk about where things went wrong. We're doing an autopsy on a season at that point, essentially, because you got no shot. So you got to win Sunday, and the fact that it's against those rat, roach infested fan base that invades our fan base in Philadelphia, the fact that it's against that team makes it even better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it'll be even the victory will be even sweeter.
Yes.
You know,
I can't wait. They gotta win. They gotta win this game.
Yeah, you're right. Conversely, while the victory can be sweeter, if you have defeat, it's even more.
No, it's like
demoralizing.
Our holidays are on the line. I'm gonna tell you right now,
2018 holidays are on the line.
I'm gonna be completely morose if they lose.
Yeah,
Monday you're gonna be like, dude, just go away.
Yeah, well, we have to put you on a couch with a team of psychologists if they lose, but. But let me ask you the question. Do they lose?
Well, you know, I've been steady all week. I think they win the game.
All right, so you've been steady Eddie all week, right out of the chute.
I do. I think they have. I feel it. I felt it last week. I felt it before the Washington game that they would win. They beat Washington, and they would wind up beating the Cowboys.
Well, while you've had that steady Eddie all week vibe, you would think like, me just sitting next to you for 4 hours a day doing
osmosis,
the program. Yeah, I'd get a little osmosis that would come over. I've got no osmosis. I don't have a feeling on either side of this. There's no logic either way that tells me that, A, the Cowboys, I don't look at them and say, well, they're so good that the Eagles can't beat them, because the Eagles can beat
them.
I don't look at the Eagles and go, well, they're going to go down there and take revenge and show some pride, because they showed other situations this year where they showed no pride.
Nah, but listen, I don't know that you could say that they showed no pride.
They've shown small and big situations this year.
Here's the bottom line that you need to think about. Can they beat this team? The answer is yes.
Yep.
What was the game like where the Cowboys won in Philadelphia? Right? It was a close game.
Sure, yeah.
It was a close game. No matter that this Cowboys beat the Saints, all that plays in the Eagles' favor. I got news for you. I feel better the fact that the Cowboys beat the Saints.
Because of the emotional high that they went on?
Yes.
Yeah, I
that
do
was
believe
a big deal. They grounded the unstoppable Saints offense. The Saints had lost only once. They had put up 50 burgers or 40 burgers or Wahlburgers or you name it. Right? They put all kinds of burgers up. And the Cowboys grounded them.
See,
that was a huge win. And what happens is, especially after, like, it's a Thursday, it's a longer week.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's going to have an adverse effect.
See, I would buy into that, but here's the reason why I don't buy into it. And it was a huge win, and it was an emotional win for them. At a very important time in the season. Now, if the Eagles were playing the Cowboys and the division wasn't on the line and the Cowboys had to try and manufacture some urgency, the fact of the matter is this. It's a 425 Fox NFL game of the week. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be on the call, and the division's on the line. Whoever wins this game has the driver's seat of the division.
Yes.
So they don't need to manufacture anything. It's the rivalry.
No, there's none of that stuff. It's the Cowboys. You heard Moose Johnson. These people that think it's a one-way rivalry.
That's bull.
That's not the case.
Yeah, I agree with
that. And you know what? It might have been a one-way rivalry when Dick Vermeil, way back in the day, beat the Cowboys for the NFC title game, and I was a little tiny tot under a green army blanket that my father had watching that game, the NFC championship game. But that thing changed. It changed during the Buddy years. It changed when Andy, and it continued when Andy owned them, and it continued from the banjo and 44-6. It's a two-way street. They hate the Eagles. They hate Philadelphia. This is it.
Yeah, and the feeling's mutual, by the way, because we hate them. Well, and that's right. The great part about it. But I got an issue because I think that Camus Grugier Hill said something really dumb. We talked about it briefly yesterday and played the audio. So I saw this article online from Bob Grotz, and I think that the QB missed an opportunity to be the man. Now, to be the man, it takes some time. You have to go through different situations at being the quarterback. That's both on and off the
field. Too brute.
Yeah, and that's both on and off the field, right?
You're going to rip Carson too?
Well,
is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not ripping him, but I'm telling you right now, he missed an opportunity to have one of his teammates back. And as the quarterback of the team,
what was the response?
Well, you know what Camus had to say about the Cowboys always choking,
right?
And you know, I looked at a lot of what his teammates had to say, Carson and Camus' teammates, and they had his back.
Chris Long said, "I don't agree with it, but I have."
Yeah, he said, it's not something I'd say, but I have his back. It's going to be a physical, intense football game.
Yeah, Carson didn't want to go there.
Yeah, Carson chose the path of least resistance. He said, yeah, I mean, I don't really want to dive into that at all. All I know is we and myself personally have a lot of respect for that team and what they're doing this year. So he never came to the defense of his teammate, and it bothers me. Because as the quarterback, you got to be the guy that goes out there and says, it's my teammate, and, you know, we support them. Would I have used those terms? Maybe not. But I'll tell you what, we got his back. We're going to make his statement stand up, whatever it is.
Wow, you're not going to say we're going to make his statement stand up.
I'm going to rally behind him.
Now you're co-signing.
Yeah. Oh, I'd rather co-sign than duck out. That was a weak move by Carson. It's a weak move. You got to have your boys back.
You're exaggerating.
No. Not exaggerating.
Chris Long handled it the perfect way. You don't say, we're going to make his statement stand up.
Well, that's what I say, if I'm him.
Come on, dude. You can't say that.
Well,
now you're putting more bulletin board. Not that any of this nonsense matters, but you're even saying it even more. Yeah, we're going to make it stand up.
See, you can't say it's nonsense. It doesn't matter because it's a huge public story, and the quarterback ran from it. Like, I need the quarterback to run into the burning building. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll go here with you. I'll say that Chris Long handled it the best. He should have handled it like Chris Long.
Yeah, I agree.
But he would be a fool to say, we're going to make his statement stand up.
Well, I mean, that's me being dramatic.
But, you don't do that.
Maybe you're right. You don't do that. But what I'm saying is...
What do you want me to say? Like, he was like, you know, maybe I guess Chris Long got his back, but, you know, all you got to do is say, we have his back, but... And then he finished what he said, which is, you know, we get the ultimate respect for the Cowboys or whatever.
Yeah. I thought Chris Long's statement is perfect. And, you know, guys like Malcolm Jenkins are more seasoned in handling this kind of stuff. And Chris Long, they've been in the league a lot longer.
Right.
And this is something that Carson will develop as the leader of the team. A lot of guys do. Yeah. Some guys never develop it. I don't believe that he's a guy that won't develop it. But I got to tell you, it's the fireman thing where he didn't run into the burning building. He ran away from it. And he could have went in there and helped out his teammate when he said something dumb, and he didn't. Does that play into this game? Probably not. But I'm just telling you, it bothered me.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah. I get bothered by stupid things sometimes. I don't know. Maybe the audience, I don't know, is it stupid to be bothered by that? Because the quarterback, to me, is the guy.
Yeah.
He's the C in hockey. He's the, you know, he's the alpha. He's LeBron James in the NBA.
I hear you. I mean, I guess.
You would have preferred he handled it better.
Okay.
Am I right in saying that?
I mean, yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you, I'll go the Chris Long route again. But, I'm not saying he can't be a co-signer, though, bro.
Okay.
All right, you can't co-sign
I'll capitulate on that. I mean, I'd like to have him come out and say, you know what? Camus' right. They have choked, but yeah, then you're right. Then you're co-signing.
You can't do that.
And now you're making it a huge story.
All right, this game is just out. I can't. I need to talk about it today.
Yeah, I need to be convinced, man.
I need everybody to come in. Can we get 10 reasons? I was going to say 15, but I think it's probably too much. Can we get, bleep it, can we get 20 reasons why the Eagles will win Sunday?
Okay, so they got past the sniff test.
20 reasons. I'll catalog.
Okay, so you're setting the over-under at 20. I'll set the under. I'll go the under.
It's not an over-under. It's an effort to try to reach 20.
Okay.
Now joining us. I couldn't wait for this.
You're so pumped
Jace,
up.
I was very excited. I've not talked to him in a little bit and overdue. And he was the man who originally played Santa. And on that field in Texas Stadium, it was before the Jerry World. The unthinkable happened. The Eagles beat the Giants on the road, the Redskins on the road, and the Cowboys on the road on Christmas Day. And this man, El Pistolero, said those words. Give them to me, El Pistolero.
Merry Christmas, Philadelphia.
You're the best, Jeff Garcia. You're the greatest.
Man, I'm going to have you introduce me to every event, man, to my kids, schools, everything. Hey, you get me all fired up, ready to go, man.
Cool, man. You know I love you. You're the best, man. You took this town, and the greatest thing in the world was you embraced it. You embraced the people. I'll never forget. You were doing an autograph thing at like a Foreman Mills.
Yes.
And the people never stopped coming, and you stayed for like 4 hours.
It was crazy. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. What we were able to do as a team in that second half of the season and really turn the season around and win the division, going to Dallas, going to Washington, New York, 3 road games in a row against the NFC East and beat all their asses in their own stadiums and then bring it home on actually New Year's Eve night, I believe it was, to clinch it against Atlanta. But it was a great run, and loved living in Philadelphia and South Philly right there, and the Philly fans, and just awesome people. And I still hear it today, man, that they still reach out through social media. You're our baby, man, and, you know, all those things. But it was a great run, great experience. Never forget it. And, yeah, the fans were coming out in hordes, man. And I would feel bad that the time would end and I wouldn't be able to address everyone. And I know that I couldn't get to everyone, but they came out and supported, and I just felt the love from the city, and it was awesome, man. I can't wait to get back to a game one of these days and just really experience it from a fan standpoint, but be a part of the crowd and the mix and that whole excitement there watching Eagles games.
You'd be a great honorary captain. Hey, Jeff, what was it that you came in with this just innate knowledge of the rivalry and the rivalries in the NFC East? You weren't here for a tremendously long time, but you came in and you enveloped yourself in the rivalry and everything that it meant to all these fans that have been going through it for so many years. Why is that?
Well, I think just as a fan of the NFL, you grow up watching and seeing just how the history and the traditions of certain divisions and certain teams, and when you look at the NFC East, there's not just one team that you're a rival with. You're a rival with every single team in that division. And it's probably because of the greatness of that division from the standpoint of New York Giants have won multiple Super Bowls. Boston Redskins have won multiple Super Bowls. Dallas Cowboys, multiple Super Bowls. And now the Eagles finally got their Super Bowl, but you're battling against the history of greatness every single time you face each other, and you know how intense it is, what it means to the fans, how crazy and involved and diehard the fans are from all of those teams. And when you combine that, it just creates an energy and electricity on the field. You know what it means to everybody who's watching, and you can't help but get
thrust into that excitement and that moment. And as somebody on the outside looking in for many years in other divisions, you envy those rivalries. And then to all of a sudden experience it and see it firsthand and be a part of it, it was awesome.
Yeah, visceral.
Yeah, it really was. And that's what we've always talked about this. We're talking to great Jeff Garcia, what it's like to win. And last year, it was this amazing party, and no one expected it after Carson went down. Nick Foles to come in a lot of ways, it was a lot like you, where Nick Foles had the magic that you did. And you know what? That Saints game was close. I mean, you beat that team there. Who knows what happens, and who knows when the ride ends?
Right. I still think about that three-point loss in New Orleans. Came down to a fourth down and a penalty on our offense, and unfortunately put us in a position to punt instead of going for it. And then we just weren't able to make the stop, but we were so close to pulling that one out. And I think had we won that one and gone to Chicago, I think we would have been a better matchup for Chicago to challenge them going to the Super Bowl. And yeah, you know, you always look back and it's hindsight, but we were close, and we had a great team. I tell you what, the chemistry in that locker room was unbelievable. I think, and that's what makes a team, man. The way a team can really gel and get together and motivate each other and support each other. And there wasn't any negativity in that locker room. There was just leaders on defense, leaders on offense, leaders in the special teams unit, that very unselfish players. And that's what it comes down to. Everybody knew what their job was. They prepared professionally, and they went out on Sundays and executed together as a team. And that's what it takes, and that's what the team did last year. Didn't matter who was pulling the trigger. Obviously, when Carson Wentz went down, I mean, I was a fan on the outside watching and looking at it like, gosh, they were having such a great season. He was having such a great year, and now all of a sudden, your trigger guy is gone. But they had the fortunate situation of having a guy who started many games for Philly in the past, who could step in and handle the business. And I think what Peterson and the offensive staff did such a great job of was curtailing the offense, tweaking it a little bit to help Nick Foles be successful out there. And once he gained his confidence, everything came back. And you saw that in the Super Bowl game.
Just curious, Jeff, do you still hate the Cowboys? Is that something like...
Always.
Yeah, right?
Always. Like, but see, I grew up a 49er fan,
yeah,
obviously a Bay Area kid. So as a 49er guy, you hate the Cowboys already. And I had buddies growing up, Cowboy fans. I'm like, why are you a Cowboy fan? You live in California, man. How are you a Cowboy fan?
You're
all over the country. I know that. But especially playing in Philly, you even hate them even more. So,
right, brother.
Well, hey, Jeff, you were a part of that.
The Cowboys that year. In 2006, you know, they had Tio on the other side who had just played for Philly. So there was, like, increased motivation for us to go in and just handle our business. And we did, man. We shellacked them on their own field.
But you were
left them crying. Left them crying on Christmas Day.
That's right, brother.
Jeff, you were the San Francisco game with Tio and the Star. You guys were together on that one, right?
Yeah, I was a part of that, right.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy. When T.O. going out to the Star and they getting decked on the Star. That was classic. Yeah. See, your Cowboy hate runs even deeper than just being an Eagle.
Right. No, we had some great battles against the Cowboys when I was with the 49ers. And that being one of them, that created another just spark of negativity and anger amongst Cowboy fans toward T.O. or toward the Niners, and yeah, we had some great games, some great battles, and more often than not, I was able to win in Dallas Stadium.
Yeah, you were. Hey, so what about Sunday, and how do you analyze this one with, you know, the rematch, and really the winner is gonna probably win the NFC East?
Yeah, you know, watching a few weeks ago, that was a tough loss at home that the Eagles sustained to Dallas, and now they have to turn it around. The great thing is that everything that the Eagles have in front of them is in their control to really create their own destiny as far as how this season goes. Now, it's going to be tough because they have the Rams, the Texans, Dallas, the Redskins at the end. But, you know, the next three games are against division-leading teams. And this rivalry against Dallas, going to Dallas, they need to handle their business. They're fortunate to be in a position, based upon how they've played and the inconsistencies of how they've played throughout the season, they're in a position to still win the division.
Yeah.
And it's 1 week at a time, but, hey, they need to go in. They need to stop that running game from Dallas. They need to force Dak Prescott to put in the air, not to say that taken away their effectiveness because he's a good young quarterback, but from an offensive standpoint, the production needs to step up. The consistency on offense, the drive, keeping Dallas on the sideline offensively, and putting touchdowns on the board. I can't settle for field goals. You got to get major points. And, you know, this team is very capable. They know what it's all about. Hopefully this first half of the season, these first 12 games, they kind of shook off that fog. And now it's time to finish this last quarter of the season on a high mark and get themselves back to where they were last season.
And now for Carson, what words would you give of advice would you give Carson?
I mean, just get back to playing your game, man. You're a guy who makes great decisions, extremely accurate with the football. When you need to move, when you need to extend plays, he's great at that. There aren't many guys in the league that are better with the athletic ability that he has within himself to just go out and play. But, hey, don't try to do too much. Do what you're coached to do and allow your athletes around you to be playmakers. And that part of that means establishing the run game and being consistent, being able to run the football. Because off of running the football, you create your play action, your movement game. You create eight men in the box where you get one-on-one outside versus corners. And that's when you have an opportunity to really be successful. But it comes down to his mental work throughout the week, trusting in that and going out and making quick, good decisions. You can't continue to go out there and just try to make plays with your feet, hold on to the football too long, look for the perfect answer. There aren't perfect answers. You got to just be great with your decision-making, accurate with your throws.
El Pistolero! You're the best, brother.
You got it, man. Hey, have a great day, great weekend, beating up on the Cowboys, and a great Christmas.
All right, give it to you one more time, please.
Merry Christmas, Philadelphia!
Yes! Thanks, Jeff.
You're the best, brother. There he is.
And it's time now for a little something we call Riled Up on a Football Friday. Final hour of the show of not only the day, but the week. Mikey Miss will take you at 2. Hope you hit the Riled Up line last night at 610-771-9751. Leave your messages there, and Andrew finds the best of the best, and this is where we hear him. So let's see what we got.
Headed down to Dallas, boys. Here we go. Eagles!
That call gets double applause from me, and here's why, Ant. First of all, great Riled Up call. Secondly, I got to give props to Andrew. He sets the tone for Riled Up right out of the chute with a great call like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I applaud the kid.
But he's done a great job, Andrew.
He really has.
I'm very impressed by Andrew.
Who? What's next?
This is Stone Cold Carson Wentz on Sunday at 4 o'clock. I'm rolling into Dallas, Texas. And I'm going down to what Whataburger, and I'm going to order up a touchdown to Hurts. I'm going to order up a touchdown to Josh Adams. I'm going to order up a touchdown to Golden Tate. And when the clock hits 00 at the end of the fourth quarter, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to give Jerry a big old eagle from both hands.
Double eagle salute.
Yeah, Carson won't do that, but I like you. This kind of Carson's fun.
Now this Riled Up's firing you up. You got a nice little
I love it.
French onion soup and a little eagle cheers. Perfect for a football Friday.
I think we're going to send them off and then we're in a good place.
Okay, I like that.
That was my goal today.
Ah, okay. Set the tone for the weekend.
But I didn't even argue with Timmy about Schwartz or Brandon Graham.
We were up against it.
Who's been a Casper-friendly ghost?
He's had a few apparitions this season, but not nearly enough. He looks gassed.
He does. He looks old.
Yeah. It happened like that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did.
What's next?
Excuse me, Mr. Schwartz? I have here in my possession a copy of the Dallas Cowboys playbook and every play they're going to run on Sunday. We got them. What do we do, Gina? Oh, you're asking me, what do you think I'm going to do? Let me tell you, boy, you take that book and throw it out the window because I'm going to go wide nine on the ass.
I like it. A wide nine on your ass.
Yeah, I don't like it, but it's all right.
What's next?
Why do the Flyers love to kick me in the You're down 3-1. Come back and kick me right in the fire itself.
Yeah, they lost last night in overtime. They were down 2 goals in the third. They rallied back behind 2 Travis Sanheim goals. He was great in the game last night. But 10 seconds into the extra session.
Yeah, it was killer.
Seth Jones. A miscommunication between Provorov and Coots. Coots' birthday today, by the way. Happy birthday to Coots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they give up the extra point. But they got the all-important point, Ant.
Yeah.
How about 10 of their next 13 games on the road? Five games?
And they're nasty, too.
Yeah, they are.
Schedules are Nashville.
Buffalo, Winnipeg.
Tampa. Ugh.
You go out for 5, you come home for 3, you go back out for 5.
Yeah, tough.
So, but they're better on the road, so maybe that's a good thing. What's next?
There's got to be something we can do as a fan base to put an end to this stupid Ric Flair woo that they do at the Flyers. Like, the players even had interviews about it, and they can't stand it. It's very distracting. Not to mention annoying as a fan sitting there watching the game. There's got to be something we can do.
Well, it's not just here. It's all over the league, apparently. And I hate it, too. I hate the Ric Flair woo. It's so annoying. Why do people think that's cool?
I agree.
You don't like it, right?
No.
Yeah. It's so dumb. I'm not a wrestling guy to begin with, but yeah, it annoys me. So maybe that's why they're not good at home.
I don't think so.
No? Maybe they're just not good enough. That could be it. What's next?
Anthony, I know you love your boy Ben. You love him. A lot of people love him. I want you to do an exercise. Sit down. How many players would you trade Ben for in the NBA straight up? And let me know that number. Thank you.
I mean, there are a lot of... I get your what he's trying to get me to do is to look around and say, look, there's 10, 15 guys you would move him for. It's an exercise that's kind of futile. I feel you, brother. Like, I know he's going to shoot. He's got to score. He's got to shoot more. But I don't know. You got to go through it. But it's a futile exercise because he's ours. So I just assume make him improve.
Yeah, and he's not a finished product. Right?
Yeah. I understand being frustrated. But just give him some time, please.
I got a quote here.
Please, just give me some time.
I'm looking at quotes from...
He's a point guard, too, please.
The Art of War from Sun Tzu.
Yes.
I'm trying to find, like, applicable quotes to the Eagles and Cowboys. And I got a good one. All warfare is based on deception. Hence, when we are able to attack, we must seem unable. When using our forces, we must appear inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe we are far away. When far away... We must make him believe we are near. I like that quote.
It's good.
It's a good Art of War quote.
Yeah.
That's one that Doug should roll out in the pregame speech to the boys in the room. All right?
Gosh, it went great.
Yeah. So, have you read The Art of War?
I've not read it like cover to cover. I've just read the quotes from it. But I'm intrigued by it. I'm sure you have, right?
Yes.
Can I get the Cliff Notes? What's next?
The only reason you two have jobs is to build up your fan base. And all you do is criticize them when they criticize Wentz, Simmons, or Embiid. You two guys are two clowns, okay? I'll criticize who I want to criticize when they do bad, okay? Okay.
Yeah, oh, that was...
Dude, Andrew, why do you play him? He's a fool. Seriously, Why do you play his messages?
I get a kick out of it.
I do too.
I don't, because I think he's a fool. I think he's a clown. He's ridiculous.
That clown doesn't amuse you?
No, he doesn't, in fact. In fact, he annoys me.
Yeah.
I've tried to, like...
Embrace it?
I've tried to embrace, like, the comedic element, but he's not funny. He just sounds like a blathering clown.
He's an idiot. The okay guy's not evolved. He's a caveman.
He's not evolved. He doesn't even know sports.
That's true.
He doesn't know sports. Listen, I don't mind. You have a dissenting opinion. You want to criticize who you criticize? Go ahead. But make them legitimate. Make them legitimate criticisms. Like, understand the game, what you watch. Otherwise, I got no time for you.
What's next?
You know what's worse than a Philadelphia sports okay guy? An okay guy that's just an okay guy in life. Like, I work in a warehouse with 12 okay guys. Like, the first thing I do when I walk in this afternoon, the managers are cheap okay. These pallet jacks are cheap okay. These boxes are cheap okay.
Yeah, there's okay guys go beyond just the realm of sport. I agree with that. They're cynics by nature, and they lean on tired narratives, and that's how they live their life, and they're fatalist. But then as soon as something good happens, they come back to only
revert
again.
Whatever. I don't even need to get that deep into it, all right?
That's
all I know is, all I know is I'm done, all right? I'm done
okay.
with it, all right? That's it. Case closed, done.
Oh, it's
out. Great. Get out. Go away.
All right, do me a favor for everybody. If you don't have the Riled Up line in your phone, put it in right now. 610-771-9751.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.